The chapel doors close behind us, and Kartik scrapes his finger over the door. I hope it will hold. The grey-white fog is thick. It bleaches the woods of colour. We've not brought a lantern for fear the creatures will see our light, so we navigate by memory. The shrieks of the riders and the fierce howls of the gargoyles locked in battle float through the fog, so that we cannot tell where they are, near or far, behind or ahead. For all we know, we are walking into the fray. We clear the woods safely, but there is still the lawn to cross. My heart thumps fast and hard. Fear brings a clarity I've never felt before. Every muscle is a spring pushed down, ready to release. Kartik holds up a finger and cocks his head, listening.
This way,
he whispers. Quickly, we follow him, trying not to lose each other in the dense fog. The howling screams grow closer. To my right, I see a flash of a stone wing, a glimpse of a skeletal arm. A gargoyle swoops over my head and into the fight, startling me as he descends. I turn my head only for an instant, but it is enough. I have lost the others. Panic takes hold. Do I run left or right or straight ahead? Go, Gemma, move quickly. I rush into the fog, pushing against it with frantic hands as if I can clear it away. I hear small, choked noises, bitten off sobs, and I realize they are my own, but I'm helpless to stop them. A gargoyle is locked in fierce battle with one of the ghastly riders. The gargoyle takes the advantage, and the rider sinks to his knees. That gruesome, skeletal face with its red-black eyes makes me gasp. The gargoyle turns to see me, and in that second, the Winterlands creature takes his chance. With one swift, cruel move, he slices through the gargoyle's belly with his razor-sharp claws. The gargoyle staggers toward me, bloodying my cape.
"To the Winterlands," he gasps. "Take down the Tree of All Souls. It is the only way."
The great stone beast falls at my feet. The rider opens his mouth and screams, piercing the night with a call to arms. I run blindly ahead. I am so drunk on fear I do not hear my own cries, my calls to the others to run. I am beyond reason. "Gemma! Gemma!" It's Felicity's voice. "Felicity!" I call back. "Gemma, here!" A hand takes shape in the fog, and I grab for its warmth. Felicity embraces me. We pull each other along. We reach the turret first. Falson, MacLeady, Anne and Kartik follow soon after. "This is it," I gasp. "The secret door."
"Get on with it,"
MacLeady pants. I reach out my hand, and then I see the crow. Its caw is like a shriek from hell, a warning, a battle cry. Within seconds, there are a dozen of the terrible birds. They transform before my terrified eyes, shifting into the mummers who visited us. But that is only a disguise. I know who they are. Poppy warriors. The tall one removes his hat and bows low, and when he rises, I see the dark rings around his eyes, the inked poppies running up his arms.
"Hello, Poppy. Such a nice evening for our sacrifice."
The other birds shimmer off their shiny black wings and become those gruesome knights, and I shudder to think of the broken cathedral they call home, the wicked games they like to play with their victims.
"Going somewhere?"
the tall one asks, grinning like a death mask. His grimy fingernails are as long as talons. I stammer. Kartik has got his dagger in his hand, but it won't be enough against these fellows.
"Kennel,"
Falson gasps.
"What pit of hell did he crawl out of?"
Miss MacLeady puts herself between me and the poppy warrior. Her arms wrap round me like a mother's, but this only makes the filthy creatures cackle.
"Won't work, m'lady,"
the one with the three teeth growls.
"Ladies and gentlemen,"
a poppy warrior shouts like an impresario.
"Tonight, we've a most impressive show for your pleasure. The story of a maiden sacrificed to a nobler cause, to ensure the freedom of the Winterlands and bestow all power to its inhabitants, to open forever the borders between worlds. Is there no one who will save this fair maiden?"
His grin turns feral.
"No, I think not tonight, for the script has been written and she must play her proper part."
"Run!" I shout. As quickly as I can, I dash for the school with the others in pursuit. The poppy warriors give chase, rising into crows behind us. We fall through the kitchen door with its fading blood mark and collapse on the floor, breathing hard.
"Are we all here? Gemma, are you hurt?"
Kartik says.
"What the hell were those things?"
Falson asks. "Poppy warriors," I say. "You do not want to play with them, Mr. Falson, I assure you." They know. They're coming after us, Anne says.